Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Okay, reason number four, God not only allows us to feel and express our grief, but he actually honors our grief and he draws near to us in it. This isn't just permission, again, to share unfiltered to God. He is drawn closer to us when we come to him in our sadness and our grief. Psalm 56:8. This was my favorite verse when our daughter Priya died. It says, "You have kept count of my tossings. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" This communicates that our tears are precious to Jesus. Why are my tears precious to him? Why wouldn't he prefer my thankfulness, my praise, especially that sacrifice of praise, right, in a hard season? Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Our tears cause a response in the heart of God. He feels compassion and he draws near to us. And when Jesus wept after Lazarus died, it was actually in response to Mary's weeping. That was what made Jesus die. He felt sad.
Jesus weep. That's what made Jesus weep.
Oh, sorry. That's what made Jesus weep, not die. He didn't die then. But he felt sad because Mary felt sad. And one time, when Jesus saw a widow burying her son and weeping, he spontaneously raised the son back to life because he had compassion on the widow. It was like he couldn't stand to see her crying and he had to do something about it without her even asking. That's in Luke 7. Now, God doesn't usually provide a miraculous quick fix to our pain like that, like he did for the widow, but his heart's response is always the same. So when you're crying, God doesn't say to you, "Quit your crying." Hmm. Instead, he says, "Bring your tears to me."
Yeah.
"Don't cry alone. I want your tears." When you complain to him honestly about things going on in your life that you don't like, that you don't understand, he doesn't say, "Don't you see all I've done for you? How could you be unthankful and complain right now?" He doesn't say, "You must not be trusting me right now. You must not have an eternal perspective. You need to have stronger faith." He says, "You can be honest with me without it threatening your faith in me. You can cry as long as you want. Your tears are an appropriate response to the sadness and loss in your life. I am a God of comfort. I'm here to comfort you. I died to bring you near to me. As a father shows compassion to his children, so I show compassion to you. I know your frame, that you are dust. I do not despise the way that I made you." Of course, we're not perfect when we're crying. I'm not saying that God doesn't ever also convict us of sin in the midst of our grief. Grieving people are still sinful people.
Yeah.
And
there's
ways
that we can, in our grief even sometimes, almost accuse God.
Yeah,
right. So there's sinful ways to grieve. We're not
saying
that all of your tears are totally justified.
I mean, absolutely, yes. But how do we see God seeing us when we come to him?
Yeah.
Especially in our low points. It really depends on how you see, how God sees you. Is he welcoming? Is he comforting you? Or is he disappointed and shaming you?
Yeah. I think just to go back again to the response to the death of Lazarus, there it describes exactly what's going on in Jesus' heart in John 11. It says, "When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled." That's how Jesus responds to the grief of his people, that when he sees us grieving, he's deeply moved in his spirit. And I think that, Shaney, like you're saying, his countenance, what is it like? Because I think a lot of times we equate what we think in our own minds or maybe what we grew up with of tears are met with a hard countenance. Tears are met with a, "Quit your crying," you know, "Just take that somewhere else. That's not good for me right now." And the tears of Jesus' people were met with a deeply felt grief in his own heart, that he was moved in his own heart when he sees his people grieving. So that countenance on the part of our Savior is really important for us to remember as we're dealing with our own grief and trying to bring it to him.
Yes. So the fifth reason is that honestly feeling and expressing our pain is necessary to experience healing. You might have heard, you have to feel it to heal it, or you have to name it to tame it.
Almost as good as alliteration.
I think there's a lot of truth to these catchy little phrases. You have to feel your feelings in order to receive healing. You have to name your emotion in order to tame it. When we cover up or avoid or deny or harden, stuff, distract, numb, whatever we want to do, those wounds, those hurts can't get the treatment that they need to heal. It's like getting a cut on your foot, pretending it isn't there, covering it up. Well, you have to uncover it. You have to allow a doctor to clean it and treat it in order for it to be healed, right? And so we have to, especially if we have like old wounds in our heart that we've never received healing from, we have to uncover them to give God access to them so he can heal them. And that is painful. Cleaning a wound is painful. But that is the path to deeper healing. I think God wants deeper healing than we want many times. And feeling and expressing our feelings is the God-given path we have to experience healing in our grief. And tears are a God-given, God-designed response to our pain. It's this outward expression of sadness, hurt, anger, loss, all kinds of emotions inside us that we're processing. And just like Jesus often touched people to heal their physical wounds, I think God wants to touch us spiritually in our hearts to heal wounds in our heart emotionally. And I think that when we meet with Jesus really honestly in our hardest seasons, that brings greater depth and intimacy in our relationship with the Lord than any other seasons. So what's the alternative? The alternative is to stuff or deny our feelings. And I think many of us, I know I have done that so much in my life that I often do it completely subconsciously. And it's very understandable because, like we've talked about, feelings are uncomfortable. They're painful. They're inefficient. They're not convenient. It makes people uncomfortable when we cry. However, whether you're a Christian or not, processing your grief is the wise thing to do because unprocessed grief is stored in our bodies and we carry it with us and it has long-term negative effects in our lives. There's all kinds of books written about that by people much smarter than I am. And I know that it's really easy to think, especially many of you listeners are very productive, successful people. So you could think, I'm not sure that like digging up all my hurts or processing my losses or my hard seasons is that big of a deal. I'm not like a war veteran. I didn't have this severe abuse in my childhood. I don't see any big destructive patterns in my life. I think I'm doing fine. I would say to that yes, we should acknowledge all the signs of health and goodness in our lives and be really thankful. But you can still be doing really well in many areas of life without a lot of emotional expression. And I believe God has more for you, more healing that you could experience that could be transformative, possibly, depending on your background, but more a fuller, more abundant life.
Yeah, I think it's just engaging your heart, living wholeheartedly, like God says over and over again. And honestly, it's avoiding that hard-heartedness as well. I think sometimes that can creep in and it can look very holy when we are actually being hard-hearted by not experiencing the full range of things that God wants us to experience. That those things can actually end up over time by habituating that way of life. It can keep us from him. It can keep us from experiencing him, experiencing the leading of him. I think it's important as well just to acknowledge like the ways that the Spirit really proactively has led you along this path, has led others that we've talked to along this path. It was very much the prompting of the Lord for you to seek this. We're not saying that this is going to hit everybody in the same way. We're not saying that everybody has the same things to deal with.
And there's a timing and a pace to it.
Yes, and we're not even saying that all of those things are valid or that we'll send you on some intricate search for all the little ways that you've been harmed or find all the little wounds. I think the Spirit just guides along the way. He's going to counsel you to, hey, these are the things that you need to focus on. These are the places where your heart has become hard that you need to maybe just sit and hear from the Lord and share this and walk in the light with other people, and that He'll guide you along that path.
Yeah. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, the wonderful counselor, to use this in people's lives however they need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The last reason that we want to encourage you to pursue wholehearted living is, this is just to wrap it up, say it again, you cannot live the abundant life that Jesus offers without being able to feel and express a full range of emotions. People write whole books on this. We could do a whole series on this, on reasons for that statement. But God purposefully created us with emotions. We are body, mind, and spirit, and all of those parts of us connect to one another. So you can't be a healthy and whole person without a healthy heart, without mm-hmm. emotional health. Also, like you mentioned earlier, you can't select which emotions that you're going to deny or stuff without that affecting your overall mm-hmm. ability to express all the emotions.
Yeah.
So for instance, you might think, well, I'm just going to not ever feel sad. I'm going to harden my heart to sadness and always be okay. That's going to holistically numb your heart. So it's going to limit your joy.
Yeah.
And then also, if you cannot feel and express your emotions, then you aren't able to experience this connection with others that is part of God's design for the abundant life. So if your heart is unavailable to you, then you cannot be fully emotionally available to others. You can't connect emotionally with others when you're not in touch with your own heart. You can still do a lot of great things for God. You can make disciples. You can lead people. You can teach the word. You can be used in many powerful ways, but you will be limited in how you connect with people on a heart level, especially in their hardest seasons. And you may not be the person they want to come to when they're hurting because of your lack of ability to feel. And so getting in touch with your heart will make your connection with others more meaningful. And it will allow you to be used by God to minister to people in a very deep way. And man, that's very powerful. When you're in a really low season and someone can connect with you, that is so healing and powerful.
Yeah, I mean, if you're seeing people that you're ministering to and building relationships and loving and just being in community with, and you find that you're not able to connect with them like Jesus did in their grief, like to connect at the death of Lazarus, if you're not feeling grief when they do, if you are always sort of able to put yourself in the detached, I'm going to minister to you and help you, but not actually commune with them in your grief, then I would argue that that's an obstacle to your ministry. That's an obstacle in your life, that we can't feel the way that Jesus evidently felt when he saw people that he loved grieving.
Yeah. So to summarize these six reasons, Jesus wept, God grieves. There are times in our life when weeping and mourning is the appropriate response. God wants us to take all of our emotions to him with unfiltered honesty. He is a safe person to bring all of our emotions to because he's loving and compassionate. He always welcomes us and honors our grief. And bringing our pain to God is the first step in the path of healing. You have to feel it to heal it. And wholehearted living is a part of God's design for the abundant life that he offers to us. So if you are convinced, if you have a desire to grow in this area, what can you do? Mm. Where to start? Let's talk about some practical tips. I do hesitate to share practical tips because there's a part of me that feels like the main thing is for you to be really convinced of these truths and be willing to try being more honest in your relationships and just and with God and just accept that it's going to be really messy. It's not going to be this nice linear step-by-step process. it's going to be halting, but to learn and grow in this as a way of life that we just continue to learn and live until we die. And you could follow the steps that I'm going to share and still just scratch the surface without ever really, really getting honest with God and others about what's deep in your heart. So that's up to you, your desires. If you don't really want to do this, you won't. That's just the reality, and that's okay. But I like practical tips. I always want those. So I will share three.
Be practical.
Okay. So first step is what a counselor taught to us. Get your feelings up and out. Okay. Whatever you're feeling, get them up and out. Up to God. Talk to God about how you feel. You could journal about your feelings. And because we naturally aren't gut level honest, you need to make it a goal to be as honest as possible, to not filter. You can use the book of Psalms as a pattern or to give you words, to give you permission. And then along with getting them up to God, get them out to others. So when you talk to the important people in your life, it matters what you talk about. Don't just talk about what's going on in your lives, but talk about how you feel. Now, this will probably be unnatural at first for many of us. It might feel weird. It might feel awkward. It might be different than what your relationships normally do. That's okay. Don't shame yourself for it being difficult. Don't give up. And I would encourage you, tell a friend or two that you trust that you want to grow in this area and just ask them if they would be willing to pursue that with you, that you just want to work on being really honest when you're together.
This is the principle of walking in the light that we've used a lot. The Lord has led us to focus on a lot over the past several years from 1 John 1, that in the context, it's talking a lot about exposing sin. That's what walking in light is, that we're walking continual confession of our sin, but also just as a larger principle for relating well with one another, loving each other well in community, walking in the light. I've grown more and more convinced is like a life principle of exposing what's in your heart, including how you feel about things, not just these are the things that are happening, but also how you're feeling about things. And so there's people in my life, guys in my life that I am able to sit down with regularly and to talk about those things with and expose what's in our hearts, that we've cultivated that level of trust over the years to be able to do that. Obviously, Shani and I do that together as well, but just having that community of walking in the light together is such a huge piece of not just addressing kind of this specifically, but really all of life, being able to walk in the light in community with other believers.
Yes. Good. Okay. So my second tip, it probably should have been the first one, but it's to think about ways to get yourself more in touch with your emotions and your heart. Many of us just at any given moment aren't really sure how we're feeling. So think about for you what helps you. For me, it's taking walks. It's getting in nature. I mean, if I could like take a walk out in beautiful nature while listening to worship music, that's like, boom, perfect combination. It's going to help me get in touch with my heart, talk to the Lord, moving my body, getting that time alone, journaling. Some people are really artsy. They want to do art. They want to sing. Sitting in a deer stand could be awesome.
Amen.
Out in nature in the quiet. But the point is, you can't work nonstop and expect to be in touch with your heart. You can't constantly fill your mind with information and distractions and expect to be in touch with your heart.
Yeah.
You have to be okay doing things that don't feel productive. You got to get over that and give yourself time and space to do this. This is not something you can just rush. It takes time.
Yeah.
And grieving is very tiring. So if you're truly in a season of grief, you need to expect to need some more rest, to be tired, to need to take breaks, to take care of yourself in the midst of that.
Yeah, I think that there's just the reality of the solitude is required at some points in this process. We talked about the importance of walking in the light, but there's a lot of this that needs to start with being alone with God. There are reasons why Jesus spoke about that and even modeled that of going off and being alone. Because in order to really connect in order to really do this deep work in your heart, there are aspects that have to be you alone with God. And so that setting, like Shani was talking about, is really important. Places where you can be alone with Him and pursue that solitude and also cultivate that heart connection. I mean, let's be honest, guys. If you're out there on the plane next time, you're by yourself, watching movies on planes almost always leads to crying in some ways. But that is a phenomenon that's documented out there. Watching movies on the plane by yourself, that'll do it.
That'll get you in touch with your heart.
Next flight. Not like Deadpool, but maybe choose something else to watch.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about people who live in big bustling cities or developing countries where you're like, oh, that sounds so nice, Shani. Yeah, I'll just go outside and take a walk in this beautiful nature around me. I'm sorry. I agree. That can be really, really hard to find. So may the Lord give you grace in those situations. Okay, and the last step is to get help. Different types of help. You might need professional help if that's an option for you. I recently benefited greatly from some professional help we did together as a couple. And it was
mostly you, though. I'm
right?
Pretty good.
I'm way more needy and high maintenance.
Yep.
But this actually was something that I couldn't get on my own. Mm. I had read a lot of books. I needed help. And this counselor really helped me see things in my heart and it just in a way that I hadn't. So it can be very, very transformative if it's possible for you. It does need to be the right counselor. I would want someone who is a strong Christian and theologian and also an expert in this field. Okay, so, but along with professional counselors, many times experienced, wise, emotionally healthy mentors can help us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be free, which is nice. And then we can, like we just talked about, walk in the light with others. We can pursue growth in this area through more intentional heart sharing with trusted friends. And then lastly, I do recommend reading books about this. This is called bibliotherapy. So it is a way to receive therapy and grow emotionally through reading good books. And books have helped me a ton. And they're many times much more doable than counseling. But I'll just give you a warning for books. Try not to just imbibe information about this topic without practicing it. It actually can just be another form of avoidance to gain knowledge about it. There is a limit to how much books can help. At some point, you do need to get the help that comes through relationship, through interaction with people. This is a work that you cannot do alone. And books are just a part of the treatment plan.
Yeah.
You need people.
Yeah. And important that as you're looking at those books, that they're coming from good recommended sources, that the authors are people who have those qualifications like
yes.
you were talking about, strong
right,
believers, right. a good view of the scriptures, that even what they're talking about is really scripturally rooted as well. And that's extremely important.
And I'm just going to throw out there a few resources right now. I'll put these in our episode notes, but if you're like me, for some reason, going and looking at episode notes feels like a big task. So I'm just going to read through a few real quick. So some books that have helped us, any book by Chip Dodd, I would say it would probably be really good. The Voice of the Heart or The Needs of the Heart, very, very helpful. I'm currently reading Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy by Mark Vrogop, which several people had recommended to me. It is about lament. Emotionally Healthy Leadership is by Pete Scazzaro. That's an older one that we read several years ago.
He's got Emotionally Healthy, a lot of stuff these days.
Yes, he does. Lots of books about emotional health for Christians. Tim Keller has a year of daily devotions in the Psalms called The Songs of Jesus. That's really good. Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. If you haven't read that, what are you doing? Get it immediately. And there's a book on attachment styles, the way that we attach to our parents as children and how that affects our relationships as adults. It's called Attachments, Why You Feel, Love, and Act the Way You Do by Tim Clinton. And then Kurt Thompson also has some really good books on shame and different related topics. And then a few podcasts I would recommend. Living with Heart by Dr. Chip Dodd and Brian Barley. Really good, really, really helpful. The Place We Find Ourselves podcast by Adam Young has been very helpful for me, particularly his episodes on story work and family of origin. Rhythms for Life podcast with Gabe and Rebecca Lyons, really good about just overall general emotional health, and Therapy and Theology by Lisa Turkhurst.
Woo! Good stuff.
That's a lot.
I will just say, by the way, that I have had to read or experience very few of those because Shaney is an external processor.
I told him all of them.
And so all those recommendations.
Every step of the way.
I know very well because I got the rundown from my wife.
Yes, and I'm currently listening to a book called No More Faking Fine that a couple different friends recommended by Esther Fleece. That is good, but I'm only halfway through. Okay, thank you for listening. Hope this has been helpful. May the Lord use it in your life so that you can experience more of our wonderful Savior and his loving care for you.
Yes.
May just any lies that you're believing about God and how he sees you be completely drowned out by the truth that God wants you. He wants your sadness. He wants all of your heart.
Yeah.
And I pray that the Holy Spirit will be your wonderful counselor and use something in this to help you.
Yeah. The goal being that you would be able to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the all, the wholehearted. That's what we're after for ourselves, and that's what we hope that this podcast helps you do as well. Bye, friends.